Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
644, 16 before 7, Tommy Tucker, WWL, highs of 93 today. Less of a chance for showers, only 30%. Then it really gets hot and drier through the weekend with highs 95 and above and only a 20% chance for showers. Quick story, when Katrina broke the levees, Aaron Broussard was on talking about Operation Snowplow to clean up. And Dave Cohen was at the Emergency Operations Center on the West Bank saying, look, I know you think what you have on is important right now, but what I have is really important. And come to find out, it was Maestri saying that the levees had broken, water coming in, didn't know how long it was going to take, how high it was going to get, etc. And I mention all of that as we welcome in our next guest, David Priest, because when it relates, as it relates to intelligence throughout the country, and throughout the world, I think everybody tends to think what they have is very important and vital, but somebody has to decide what the president sees, and that brings us back to Russian bounties and the president's daily brief, and did President Trump even see it? David Priest is our guest, COO of the Lawfare Institute in Washington, D.C. He served at the CIA as an intelligence officer, personally delivered the president's daily brief for more than a year during the George W. Bush administration to the Attorney General and FBI Director, and he's written two books about it, including the President's Book of Secrets, and it's a fascinating read. With that, we welcome in David Priest. Hey, David.
Hey, Tommy. Good to talk to you again. I wish it were under better circumstances than this news story about Russians paying to try to kill American soldiers.
Yeah, talk about that whole process, if you will, and first of all, generally speaking, I guess, what gets into that brief and what agencies, I hate to say competing to get their stuff in, but think that their stuff is it almost a competition?
It is, and it's a healthy competition because the whole point is to get billions of dollars worth of our money as taxpayers that go into the intelligence collection business and the analysis of that information. The competition is to get the best possible information on the desk of the president of the United States. Because look, regardless of who the president is, that person has to make some tough decisions about where to intervene with the military, who to call up on the phone and try to change their mind about something, or what to do within the U.S. government to plan for some kind of a threat. And yeah, there is competition because analysts from all over the intelligence community see threats to the United States. And in this case, it's a doozy. It's the Russians paying the Taliban to try to kill Americans in Afghanistan. And that's the kind of thing that the editing process that happens would usually push to the top of the list and make sure it gets into that printed daily document that goes to the president of the United States.
So the Pentagon is saying that it was worrisome, I think they're quoted as saying. U.S. general overseeing operations said that intelligence was very worrisome, but the information wasn't solid enough to hold up in a court of law. But, I mean, how do you decide what's credible and what's not? And all of this, you don't have CSI evidence on any of this, not that it would have happened yet,
wish.
But... yeah, but I mean, it's not that simple, is it?
It's not that simple at all. If the president's daily brief only included things that were verified, it would be a very thin book every day, and it would be very boring. It would be very thin because that's not what intelligence is. intelligence is information you collect from people who don't want you to know it. It's secrets. And because of that, it is always unverified. Now, the intelligence business is about corroborating that information. That is, you get word from one source that something's happening, and then you start asking other sources about it, or you start listening in on communications, or you start trying to steal some documents that can prove that that's true or not. But if you're going to get information to the president in time for him to do something before it actually happens, it has to be unverified. It has to give him a step up on the adversary. So the Daily Book of Secrets would be very thin if it only had confirmed things, because there just aren't that many. But it also would be boring, because things that are completely verified and known are usually the things that are out in the public already and everyone in the world knows about them, or else they wouldn't be definitely true. So, yeah, the intelligence book each day is worrisome. It is full of threats to the United States, and it is full of things that aren't fully corroborated yet. That's the job of intelligence itself.
Let me take a break here. When we come back, I want to talk about the nature of intelligence itself, because I think some people might be conflating President Trump draining the swamp, or at least that's what he said he was going to do, with not destroying, but recreating the intelligence community. And these are people that have spent their lives doing this, that have cultivated assets all over the world. And if you're the president, it would seem to me you'd be a fool not to listen to what they had to tell you and to think that you knew better, because they're the ones that are out in the field and risking their lives, etc. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back. 6:50, 10 till 7. Traffic now on WWL. 6:55, 5 before 7. Tommy Tucker on this Wednesday morning, July 8th. We're talking to David Priest. He's written books about the president's daily brief. He personally delivered it. The president's daily brief for more than a year during the George W. Bush administration to the attorney general and the FBI director. So he knows what he's talking about. So when it comes to, because he's literally been there and done that, when it comes, David, to actionable intelligence and reliability, et cetera, do I have this wrong, or was the raid to get bin Laden a 50-50 proposition in terms of whether that intelligence was accurate or not?
Oh, the intelligence was far from verified. It was uncertain. The analysts presenting it disagreed about how confident they were. And later on, they asked the people in the room when they were doing the raid, the people who had to advise the president who ultimately made the decision. And some of them said they thought it was less than 50-50. Some of the people thought that it was 80 or 90%, but it was by no means certain. But guess what? If they wouldn't have given that to the president for a decision because it wasn't verified, bin Laden might still be planning attacks against the United States today. Intelligence is an uncertain business. And frankly, Tommy, sometimes they get it wrong. Sometimes the assessments aren't right. But most of the time, they do a pretty good job of judging the uncertainty, presenting that to the president, and helping him make a decision if he reads the intelligence and takes it seriously.
You have to trust the intelligence community, and for whatever reason, it seems as though President Trump, you know, he threw him under the bus numerous times, including in front of Vladimir Putin at that Helsinki press conference, where he said, well, you know, intelligence is telling me this, but the premier said that, so I'm going to believe him. Do the intelligence professionals just forget about that and just keep doing their job, and it's like, well, you know what? All I can control is getting the information, and then I'm going to pass it along, and let's hope everything works out?
Yeah, that's really close to it, Tommy, because you have to realize that the intelligence community gives information to the president, and that is an important job, and everyone takes it seriously, or I wouldn't have written a whole book about it. But there are thousands of other customers, as we call them, in the intelligence community that get intelligence analysis and do their jobs. And I'm talking everybody from cabinet officials to assistant secretaries of state and defense and treasury to working level desk officers throughout the executive branch, but also commanders in the field. And you're not going to find an intelligence officer who has something that he or she thinks will save the lives of U.S. soldiers overseas who is worried about what the president is saying to Vladimir Putin. If they can get their analysis to a commander in the field and save the life of a U.S. soldier, they're going to focus on that, and they're going to keep doing their job to protect America and Americans, regardless of what the president says.
How does the president, any president, manage an intelligence, the intelligence agencies, I should say, because I guess nothing's perfect. You want it to be reliable. You know where the line is and where the line isn't, but yet these are established things. It's a fine line, isn't it, between a president just getting in lockstep with the intel agencies and or putting his or her stamp on it or trying to have things done their way?
That's right. And I'll give you an example of it from a past president who died recently, and that's George H.W. Bush. He knew intelligence well because he had served as director of intelligence for a year and then as vice president for 8 years. When he was president, he read the president's daily brief every day. He had a briefer talk to him about it in person every day in Washington. But that doesn't mean that he just accepted what they said. Every day he would push back. He would ask tough questions. He would argue. He even made a bet with one of his briefers that the intelligence that he was briefing him was wrong and the president was right. And the briefer had to pay up on the bet the next day. So a president has the duty of reading the intelligence to prepare for his job. But that doesn't mean the president has to just sit back and accept everything they say. It is a give and take, Tommy.
Thank you, David. I appreciate your time. I hope you come back. I know you will. We'll talk to Fred Lopez when we come back, Dr. Fred Lopez, and answer your career.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.